We'll read responsively from our New King James Bibles, Psalm 30.
Psalm 30. This is a song at the dedication of the house of David.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cry out to you, and hear me.
O Lord, you have brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit.
Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved.
Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled.
I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication.
What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me, Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
To the end,
okay, last week in this series of Psalms, you saw where the voice of the Lord created, the voice of the Lord destroys, the voice of the Lord upholds, and the voice of the Lord directs. And in His providence, God, through His voice, has set His King forever and will give strength to His people and will bless His people with peace. One thing that I was going to mention last week before I was taken ill, about Psalm 29, just kind of as an aside, and I'm going to hit that real quick. You notice here it's the voice of the Lord that does all these things. It's not His physical presence. It doesn't even say it was His hand or anything of the sort. In premillennial dispensationalism or premillennial theology, they say that God cannot rule on earth, but Satan can until Jesus comes to physically be present on the earth to rule. That He doesn't have power until then. And this Psalm 29 puts the lie to that, because it's the voice of the Lord that does these things. The voice of the Lord as it comes from heaven. So there's no need to take that part of premillennialism to heart at all. And now we're going to make an argument from the greater to the lesser. For those of you who've studied logic, you know probably the technical name for that. I can't remember it. But last week, or in the previous psalm, we have where God takes care of His people as a whole. Because as a creator God, they are His, as well as the rest of the world. We see that as the one who made the earth, He's the one who upholds it and directs it. Who destroys, but yet intervenes then to preserve those that He loves and the things that He loves on the earth. And now we're going to go from that big picture of the God of all the world. And that's where a lot of different theological mindsets leave it, a God that has people but not persons. But if we're going to take that, we're going to bring that down to one person. Instead of just giving strength to His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace, now in this psalm we have a person, a particular person. Now David wrote this when the palace was set up. When he made his palace to rule as David, the anointed of God, there in the city of God, there on the mountain of God. But David did not write this about himself, as I said before, over and over and over. A song of thanks for the installation of a Bronze Age king in a minor kingdom in the Middle East is hardly worthy of enshrining it in Scripture, much less the praise book of God's people for all time. But when we read that superscription, we should think of something. It should make us think of things. When we read a song at the dedication of the house of David, that phrase, the house of David, means a lot more than this building of cedar in Jerusalem that was knocked down and burned centuries ago, millennia ago. But the house of David was the dynasty set up, the promised line of anointed kings of Israel,
from which the people of God at that time lived in hope for the Son of David, who would rule from the mountain of God. The Son of David, who would live in the house of God, not the temple of David, but figuratively at this point at the tabernacle, later at the temple, but nowadays, that Son of David who lives, who reigns, who rules from the house of the line of David, from heaven. Because the true Messiah, the Son of David, is also the Son of God, and is Jesus Christ. So the dedication of the house of David looks at David as the prefigurement of Jesus Christ. And as we go through this psalm, we can see that it's not about David, really, unless David was some sort of egomaniac. But this was a psalm of the Messiah, the one that he knew he ruled in the place of, the one that he knew would come from his line. Now it starts with, "I will extol you, O Jehovah," or "O Yahweh, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. I cried out to you, you healed me, you brought my soul up from the grave, you kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit." Now David's soul was never in the grave until it was in the grave for good. David didn't go down to the pit until he went down to the pit for good, and there he lies today. But this psalm is not about David, as I said, but it's about Jesus, who was kept from the grave, whose body did not see decay, who was kept alive and did not go down to the pit. In verse 4, again, we see another thing that points to Jesus rather than David. "Sing praises to Jehovah, you saints of His, and give thanks for the remembrance of His holy name." The name of God here is remembered, and all the saints give thanks for it, because we know in His grace, it says, "For that His anger is but for a moment, and His favor," or His love, "is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Now David, at the dedication of the palace, didn't have a motivation, didn't have a context for this saying, for this particular phrase. But the dedication, the establishment of the house of David, of the house of Jehovah, truly happened at the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And what better does this section look at? "His anger is but for a moment." Think of Jesus saying this and praising God for it. "Your anger, Father, was just for a moment, but your favor now is for life, for the life of your people. Weeping may endure for a night," and we know Jesus wept that night, "but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." Now this is not a statement of pride, as some people say. Here in this context, this is a statement of faith in God. The argument goes, "In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong." Jesus says, "God, you have made my mountain strong. I know, even though I'm prosperous now, I shall never be moved. Then, when you hid your face and I was troubled, I cried out to you, O Jehovah. And to Yahweh," or Jehovah, "I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? What good is it for the Holy One of Israel to go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Father, how will you be praised if my salvation is not purchased? Will the dust declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper." Now we know that this prayer, think about it, is very much the prayer from the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer of Jesus there on the cross. "For your glory, Father, may your will be done," is what this psalmist is saying here. "For your glory and not for my choice, your will be done." And the outcome of it, well, it's already been spoken of, isn't it? "His anger was but for a moment, but His favor is for life." The love of God lies upon all of His people. Because Jesus, for that one moment, that one time, that one night, took the anger of the Father, took the judgment for our sins, for those who would rest upon Him. And now, where is Jesus' heart? Where is His mind? "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." Sackcloth, of course, being indicative of mourning, of fasting, of self-abnegation. I'm trying to think of a better word for it. humiliating yourself in order to be moving closer to God. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Now think of it. David, the man of God, the humble servant of God, would he have penned this about himself? To the end that my glory may sing praise to you? Oh, come on. David wasn't wrapped up about his own glory, was he? No, he wasn't. And in a human, that would be arrogance. In a human, that would be a false pride, a damnable pride, that my glory could bring praise to God, because I'm just that great. No, no man of God would write this. But the Messiah, the Son of God, would. And it wouldn't be arrogance. It wouldn't be a false pride. It would be a beautiful thing. To the end that my glory, Jesus the Christ, the risen Messiah, says, may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Now think of this just for a moment, this last line. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The one who prayed, may this cup pass from before me. The one who prayed, if it's at all possible, Father, let's not do this. But did it anyway. Who suffered the pain, the humiliation, the judgment of hell for you, is not spending eternity saying, boy, these guys owe me big time. He's not spending eternity saying, look at all I've gone through for you. He's not saying, I'm sorry I had to go through this, but O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. He's thanking the Father forever, eternally, that he was able to bring glory to God, to the Father, that he was able to serve the Father, and that he was able to save you. Thanks from Jesus. Thanks that we could be here worshiping him today. So now, to the end that the glory of Jesus may sing praise to you and not be silent. Who is the glory of Jesus? Well, it's his people. That's part of it. So now let us sing praise to him and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let us give thanks to him as we sing Psalm 30, and we'll sing part A.